Laws or rules. We're going to follow the laws or the rules by which we understand Scripture. When Elder was when I mentioned Thessalonica in verse 16, he immediately said that okay, it could be found somewhere else in the Scripture, but we didn't go that route. We're going to do that this time. Okay, we're going to do that this time. Okay, so verse 1, Philippians 4, verse 1 says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in Jehovah, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and beseech Cynthia, that they be of the same mind in Jehovah. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. So it does point out that women were helping Paul in the gospel. We'll see how they were helping. Okay, we'll see that. And then also when you look at the scripture here, it says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Paul referenced men and women who assisted him or worked with him in the gospel in one fashion or another as fellow laborers or yoke fellows. So we'll look at the word yoke fellow in verse 3, and we'll see that it means co-yoke, colleague. It means colleague. And one of the things that it's kind of funny because it was kind of like a town hall meeting, but it was really like a candidate forum where you have people who are running for a particular district for the city of Dallas, and all of the candidates were talking, trying to win over, you know, the votes of the citizens. And this particular individual who is, I'm going to call the name, he calls himself an apostle, so I'll say what he calls himself, who is an apostle, and who, in all of the sittings that I've been in with this individual, whereas he felt that they were important, he always, in those sittings, have announced to the audience that he used to be over me. And it has always brought laughter to me because of my mindset and perspective to his. Elder here, I call him my son, but he's a fellow laborer with me in the gospel. So although I'm his pastor, I don't look at him as someone who I am over. We're laboring together in this gospel. Okay, I understand my position, I understand his. And so when I look at all of you, when you look at me as far as a shepherd is concerned, a pastor, shepherd is concerned, then that has a perspective with me being an overseer of the sheep. When you look at it from a perspective of just scripture and how Christ identified himself as the shepherd, and at the same time he talked about the saints being the sheep. So when you look at things from that perspective, it has perspectives associated with it, but when you look at it in its truthfulness, and if you look at it in verse 3, you're seeing women who labored with Paul, and Paul was classifying these people as your fellow, as colleagues, okay? And so when you look at these people in verse 2, Euodias is a woman, okay? She's a woman. And then when you look at Cynthia, she's also a woman. So you're looking at these, they're being identified as women here. Then he said, I entreat thee also, true your fellow. Okay, and he's saying, verse 1, therefore my brethren dearly beloved. And so all those that labored with Paul in the gospel, he called them colleagues. But the mindset of the church and Christians is they always want to be superior to someone. And so every sitting that I would be in, this individual always have to announce and I had yet to figure out what he was over me in. And so I asked him the last time that he brought that. I was like, okay, can you please tell me what you were over me in? What were you training me in? Because I don't remember. What was it that you were training me in? Last time I checked, you was a youth pastor, and I sponsored the youth, so I would pick up the kids and take them to youth, bring them to youth to teach them. Not me, but them. And so where is it that in your mind has been programmed that you are or used to be over me or used to train me? Where does that term come from? Couldn't even answer it. But when you see it from a perspective of the apostles' doctrine, we're all laborers in Christ. We're all laborers in the Messiah. And all of us have to understand that. And that's what Paul, remember what we always teach, we have to operate within the apostles' doctrine. Paul looked at everyone who labored with him. He didn't come across as saying, I'm superior, I'm over you. Even though there were some that he was teaching things, the brethren, he was teaching them things, but he looked at it from a perspective of sincerity and truth, and he always pointed out that I look at you as true yoke fellows or fellow laborers. Those were always the terms that he used in association with people who were laboring with him concerning the gospel of our Messiah. We got to have the same mindset, okay? And so, as you see him in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, true colleague, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers. See, there it is. I didn't know that it was in this passage too. So he used your fellow, and he used fellow laborer. So let's look at fellow laborer. Fellow laborer here is it says co-laborer, okay? Companion in labor, okay? So you look at colleagues as one being identified, and then it also says work fellow. So both of them have some form of association with one another. So you look at Paul's mindset, and he was saying everyone who worked with me in the gospel, they were classified from my perspective as fellow laborers, or they were your fellow. They were my colleagues. We were all in this thing together. I wasn't trying to rule over nobody. Nobody was trying to rule over me. We all understood we were all the body of Christ. That has to be our mindset. So now I'm jumping into a perspective as far as leadership is concerned. Now all you leaders now, it is vitally important for you to understand that when you are put in position to lead, you still must understand that you are all fellow laborers, or everyone that comes, so to speak, into your leadership or part of your leadership, you still have to, or we still have to acknowledge those people as fellow laborers. We're all in this together. I never look at myself as superior to elder on anything that we deal with. That's why when you see certain things that we're teaching on, I refer to him and be like, okay, am I good on this part right here? Can you check this here to make sure? Because I trust him as a fellow laborer that he understands certain things, and when we're flowing together, it makes it easy on me. Out of the mouth of two or three, let it be established. Christ, the Messiah, he sent them out in twos. And any time now we're flowing together as fellow laborers, there'll be things that he'll bring up that I didn't think about. There'll be things that I bring up that he didn't think about. But when it's all said and done, everybody has walked away with some understanding. That's what we want to make sure that we all have this same mindset in working in the kingdom, dealing with our nation of people. Dealing with the body of Christ, including the Gentile, we have to all understand that we're all in this together. We are your fellow and fellow laborers in the gospel. Okay? Nobody has superiority over another from a perspective of this work, this labor that we all call to do. We're all in this together. Okay? We understand there's odds. We understand there's specific lanes that people will run in. But at the same time, when it all boils down to it, we're all just colleagues. We're all companions. We're all working together to make this. We're all working together to glorify the kingdom of the Most High God. Okay. Now, again, he says, help those verse 3. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, let's just know that we are the children of the Most High. We are written in the book of life. Rejoice in Jehovah always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, that Jehovah is at hand. Now, when you look at moderation, we'll just define that word just to make sure everybody's on the same page. The word moderation means patience. So it says, let your patience be known unto all men. Jehovah is at hand, okay? Be gentle, be patient, moderation, okay? Now, as we continue to move on now, verse 5, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Yah. In other words, when it comes down to the things of the kingdom and us glorifying Yah, we don't have to be cautious about anything that we ask for. We can ask and be in prayer and supplication, and we can ask Yah for what's necessary to advance His kingdom. You know, I want to get caught up into all the other things that people, you know, get caught up into asking Yah for. When you read these scriptures, keep your mind always focused on the kingdom. People are always trying to pull out little different verses to apply to their personal lives. There's no perspective that's associated with that, but always seek the kingdom first, and He adds all the other things that we're trying to apply the scriptures to get done in our lives. Okay, if I seek the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You go back up, it's the thing that people are concerned about in life. What caused them to be weary? What caused them to be anxious? I don't spend my time praying about those things. I spend my time seeking the kingdom and His righteousness, and I just see Him just meet my need on a daily basis. And so most people, they're praying, I don't pray. I don't pray those prayers anymore. I need this and I need that prayer. Because I understand the law now. If I seek Him in spirit and in truth, what I mean by in spirit and in truth, if I seek Him from a mental state that causes me to that caused me to line up with His righteousness in truth. When I seek Him in reality, when I'm serious about my walk with Yah, Yah said, I add all things to you. I know what you have need of. That's what He said in Matthew 6 before He gets to verse 33. He said, I know what you have need of before you ask. So since He knows, why should I worry about the things that I need? My main concern every day is seeking Him first and His righteousness. That is my sole concern every day. And from that, it causes all those other things to line up, whether there's understanding the scripture, whether there's, meeting certain needs financially, meeting certain needs physically, all those different things. He meets those needs and we seek Him first and His righteousness. Things concerning that, you know, that we have anxiety and stresses about. Okay. So in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Yah. You know, we can request some things from Yah. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying about some personal things and different things like that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I want to encourage you to operate within certain laws, and we don't have to spend time praying about certain things. If we sincerely seek Him first and His righteousness, He adds those things. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, because I do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, I need this. And I'm laying out to you what I need, and I'm not concerned about it from that point on. I'm just going to continue to seek Your real righteousness. And I made my request known, and we're not concerned about it from that point on. So there's a balance with it. But I just want you to always approach anything from the perspective of what you read in the scripture. You let yourself see the, or allow yourself to see the kingdom first When you read something, don't see. If you read something in the scripture, thank you, y'all. Remember I told you, I see these, when we talk about trances and status, I go into trances and reveal things. So that's why I said thank you, Father. If you read something and the first thing you see when you read it is you're in the wrong perspective. When you read something, see the kingdom first. All things are added to you. See the kingdom first and then you add what you just read. Okay? Did you understand that? See the kingdom first. When you read that, so when he says make your, verse 6 again, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Yah. When I hear that, when I read that verse, the first thing that comes to my mind is what can I request and make known to Yah for the glorification of the kingdom? When that becomes my priority, then what request I have personally now is going to become something that is evident based upon my mindset of seeking God first and his righteousness. You remember what he said to Solomon? Solomon's only concern was the kingdom. He tells Solomon, ask me anything, I give it to you. You know, a person would call my mind, they would have been saying, give me candy, cookies, and donuts. I want 8 houses, 10 cars. I want $1 billion, and I want all this other stuff. What did Solomon say? Just give me a wise heart to lead your people the right way. Yah said, okay, and I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you all these things. Because as Solomon sought the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, Yah added all the things that Solomon needed because he sought first the kingdom. Well, we learned that. We learned that law. For I'm telling you, this walk with Yah can be really easy. We learn the laws that he's laid out before us. Okay. Now, verse 7 says, "And the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Yehoshua Mashiach." Verse 8: "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." This is what we should spend our time thinking on. That's kingdom stuff. Think on kingdom stuff, all your stuff will be added. Think on the good things of Yah. Think on the kingdom, and all these things will be added. Verse 9 says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do." Why? "And the peace of Yah, and the Yah of peace shall be with you." Okay, all of this, if we apply these concepts, the Yah of peace will always be with us. Seek him first, he'll always be with us. Verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice." Verse 10 says, "But I rejoice in Jehovah greatly, that now at the least your care of me has flourished again." So he's dealing with the Philippians here. He says, "Your care for me has flourished again." He says, "Wherein ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity." Now we dealt with this. I believe on last week when we dealt with the careful, it wasn't that they were saying, "Well, I really don't want to do this." It's something else associated with that, and we'll just kind of review it just a little bit. So we'll look at the word. We'll look at the word careful again. So the word careful means they had the mindset, because it has the same meaning. Which verse? We'll find the word once we get there. The word careful has the same meaning as another word here, as we dealt with it on last week. But we'll deal with it as we get in there. So when you look at that careful, it's not a caution like we understand. They had a mind to do this. They had a mind to assist Paul, but they just lacked the opportunity. They wanted to care for him, but just lacked the opportunity. So, matter of fact, Matter of fact, it is yoke care. That's what it is, yoke care. It says at the last, yoke care is the same thing as careful. So you look at yoke care in verse 10 here. You look at yoke care, verse 10, it has the same meaning here. You see the same word. So yoke care in verse 10 has the same definition of meaning as careful. So when you see it, it's letting you know the mindset is not from an American standpoint of saying, I'm careful and then I don't want to do this, I'm talking. It is they have the mind to take care of Paul in some areas they just lack the opportunity. Okay. Now, verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. And this is why he's saying this. He's saying, you know, you get some preachers who will try to pull on the congregation to always do things to meet their needs. Paul said, when I talk about this care, when I talk about your ability or how you have cared for me in the kingdom, he said, I don't talk about this subject because I'm trying to get something out of it. Not because I want anything. I'm just like Paul. I teach it from a perspective of teaching, not because I'm in need of anything or trying to prop you up to get anything from you. And so Paul has his mindset, and we want to make sure that we operate in the apostles' doctrine. And okay, and Elder, if you have some, remember, just stop me. And then verse 11 now. 11 says, not that I speak in respect of one, colon lets us know that he is connecting, the answer is after that. So when you see him says in respect of want, it means falling short. So a lot of times preachers talk about giving because they are falling short somewhere. Okay? We don't want to have that mindset here. We don't want to do things because you know, things are falling short. And so, well, let's teach a message on giving because we're trying, you know, it's time for us to get the building fund going. So let's teach on giving. We don't want to do that in respect of one. Lack. That's not the order of the apostles' doctrine. We don't want to operate that way. Okay? He says, not that I speak in respect of one, but I have learned. Paul said, this is why I don't talk that way. Paul said, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul was like, wherever I am, you know the cliche that I always use, whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. So when I say whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit, what I am really saying is what Paul is saying here. Whatsoever state I'm in, I learn to be content because I know whatsoever state that I'm in, it is always for my benefit. I put my trust in you. We all have to do this, okay? He says again, I know how to be obeyed. I'm okay with having lack, with having little. I know how to bound. So that content in verse 12 is allowing us to take to get a further understanding of what he's referring to in his abounding obeyed. Paul, like, okay, when I'm obeyed, when I have little, he said, I'm okay. I'm content. I'm good. When I have a whole lot, I'm good. I learned myself a state I'm in to be content. Then he says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I'm interested in the word instructed. He says to teach now. When you look at I am instructed, I am taught. In other words, he has had experiences whereby it has put him in position to continue on regardless of whatever state that he's in. Okay. Now, verse 13, he said, I can do all things. This is why. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be obeyed and do it. It's been time I've been homeless. I was able to do it. My family and I, we were able to do it because of our faith in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Okay, I'm doing fine now. Let's call that abounding. I can do all things through Christ, whether I'm a base or abounding. Okay? enemies is notwithstanding, we have well done that he did communicate with my affliction. And this is where we're going to start. And I want to reference my actual Bible here because, again, I always mark this thing up. And I don't think I had it with me last time. I can't remember. So there were some things that I didn't go off into in detail because I didn't have it marked up like the way I got my Bible marked up. So we're going to look at verse 14 again. He says in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, obviously, anytime, because, you know, the church has been so programmed that anytime you see giving and receiving, they always try to attach a dollar bill to it. So we want to allow the scriptures to give us an understanding of what Paul is talking about. Okay? And the only way to do that is to deal with specific words. So the first word that we're going to deal with is communicate. Okay? Verse 14, it says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now we'll go to Galatians chapter 6. But keep Philippians 4 because we're going to come back. So always hold that place and we'll come back. We want to understand what communicate means based upon the scripture instead of you know, things that preachers do to try to deceive. Okay. Now I'm just look at. Well, should I start? I'm just starting verse 6. You can read 1 through 5 on your own time. I'm just looking at verse 6 because I want to deal with the word communicate. Galatians 6, verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Y'all see that? So when you look at the word communicate, and we'll go back to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll see it has the same meaning. When you look at the word communicate, it means to share with. So the word communicate doesn't necessarily mean it's money. Okay? It's just that preachers try to always attach it to that because you ain't talking to them unless you're talking about putting money in the tray, the bucket or whatever. Okay? So when you look at the word communicate, it means to share with others or distribute. Be partakers. So when you look at Paul is saying, he's saying in a nutshell here, let him that is taught in the word communicate, distribute. You notice that he often referred to those who work with him as fellow laborers. So we're seeing things being in harmony from this same perspective. You can take it all the way back to, thank you, y'all. You can take it all the way back to Acts chapter 2, you start getting into chapter 3, where it says, and they sold their possession, and all the ones that had needs, in other words, their needs were met. Y'all says, go there. So I want to just show you how things are in harmony. So when you see this communicate, it doesn't just mean that the church is the only one benefiting. It doesn't mean that the church is the only one getting its bills paid. The preacher is the only one driving the Rolls Royce and the big old house and all this. This fellow laborer, this communication was a benefit to all who were a part of the body. Okay? This is how we have to operate. Okay? It shouldn't be me as a fellow laborer with you living a whole lot better than you because I'm benefiting from what you are bringing to the church. That's unrighteousness. Okay? And so you take preachers that will take this communication and said, well, since I'm teaching you, you got to communicate with me in all things. No, we're fellow laborers in this thing. So that means if there's some communication going on, then something should be taking place where all of us can benefit from this communication because we're all fellow laborers. Yeah, I'm teaching, but Paul is pulling out. Paul is revealing to us true biblical concepts by which the church should operate. So it's messed up when you got a preacher pulling up in a Rolls Royce and you got everybody else pulling up in these other type of cars and some folks have to get off on the bus. And I know these Christian preachers not liking what I'm saying, but you know me. I don't care less. And so it is something wicked about the mindset that they use these scriptures enough in order to make that fly when you look at people within the same body as a fellow laborer. They're hearing the preacher, but at the same time, they're laboring with him, with their communication, with their resources or whatever it is to advance the gospel. And it's sad that the preacher's the only one benefiting from. So when you look at Acts chapter 2 here, it shows the mindset of the church. It says now verse 42, because you know I always talk about the apostles' doctrine, okay? Because that's what we operate in. We're going to continue to operate. So verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many now this fear is what? What is this fear? Remember we dealt with the fear before? What is it when fear comes upon every soul? Is everyone doing this because they're afraid and thinking something's going to happen to them? It's a reverence there. It is a reverence of the Most High Yah, and so everyone is on one accord. There is a reverence, there is an honor. We want to glorify the Most High and His kingdom, and so that's the fear about which you want to walk in. So, verse 1-2-3 says, and fear came upon every soul. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods. This is what you see the communication. This is the initial stage of the communication. It wasn't that Paul was saying, whoop it, witch. Tell they sword into me. I'm going to get to build me a castle. I'm going to get to drive me, you know, the bridge. I'm going to get the high quality donkey that you can get in on here. You know, none of those things were being done, but everybody was on one accord, fellow laboring in the gospel, and you see the same pattern in Acts chapter 2. So when you get into Galatians 6 and 6, it's no different. No different. When we look at Philippians 4, the same principle is there. So, again, it says, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods. It doesn't mean that my brother-in-law Virgin, it doesn't mean that now because they're in the kingdom that they got to sell their house. What this is referring to is that there were people who had things that they could afford to share with everyone else. It wasn't like with this Christian stuff you see when they become a child, put your rent money in there, just trust God. No, church, come on, we all gonna trust God. If I gotta trust God, everybody's gonna be trusting God. And so this is from a mindset of people who had things that they saw that, you know what, this would benefit the kingdom. It wasn't like they were saying, let me steal everything I got and just give it all to the church. That wasn't the mindset. The mindset was, we're on one accord, we're advancing the kingdom, God is being glorified, the Son has been raised from the dead, we are believers in Him, and we're going to do everything we can to support the gospel. And there were people who were saying, look, I've got this land that I don't need to do anything with it. Let me sell that and bring it to lay at the apostles' feet so that we can advance the kingdom. People need to be there. That's what was going on. Okay, that's why verse 44 said, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men. As every man had need, you got these, y'all excuse my language, but this zeal coming up on me is just, you got these freaking preachers who now have abundance, and they don't need, and they constantly dragging it from the church. They don't need it. But when we operate in the apostles' doctrine, it says it gives to every man that had need. Preacher, why are you still getting in line and you don't have a need? Why you got to be a bazillionaire, preacher? Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I refuse to follow it, and I refuse to be a part of it. And, you know, anybody who is a part of anything like that, I encourage you to run as fast as you can, because that is not the apostles' doctrine. That is the traditions of men and the doctrine of devils. It is wolves in sheep clothing who are using the scripture for personal gain. And you got a lot of these preachers who have gotten rich off of selling out the church for personal gain. Not happening here. Okay? Now, they parted to every man that had need. In other words, people who didn't have need wasn't trying to get in there and get something. You know, you got folks always trying to get something because they always want something more than what they need. Right? Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and bring bread out the house. Yes, ma'am.
That's what you just said was very critical because God is going to require his people's blood at the hands of these preachers, right?
What do you mean by requiring people's blood?
You know, when they use the people to get all of these goods and things, you know, money and riches.
Yeah, I think you're correct. And even the scriptures reveal that in Jeremiah, I believe, 23. I think it's Jeremiah 23 when he says, "Woe to the pastors who cause my sheep to go astray." You use it in the contextual meaning of dealing with the nation of Israel, but he warns concerning when leaders were leading the people astray. He says he warned those leaders because he brought judgment down on them and is going to do it again in the future, so you are correct. And he's raising up shepherds that would feed the people. So, yes, you're correct. Go ahead, please.
Because, you know, the preacher is the watchman over the people to take care of them and, you know, to have the insight to know what they need to do and how they need to go about doing it, and when they don't do that, then, you know, they put the flock at risk.
Exactly.
And that's just I don't think the gravity of that gets people. That's a big deal.
It really is. It really is a big deal, y'all. And that's why you have the church that's in the state, or at least so called church, that's in the state that it's in. You know, we can even call it the church, but that's why it's even in the state that it's in, because you have shepherds who are leading the people astray. They're in it for selfish gain. You get guys who pick up a Bible to preach, guys and gals, so to speak, who pick up a Bible to preach for the sole purpose of personal gain. And this stuff is ridiculous, and that's why we want to deal with it according to the scripture to show what it really is. Okay? You had anything else, Mama Coach?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, we go back to Philippians chapter 4, because Galatians 6, we understand what communicate meant, right? Or do we need to go look at it? Again, we can look at it in verse 14, because it's the same meaning. And so when you look at verse 14, it says, no church did communicate with me. And so it says to share in company with, co-participate, okay, be partakers of. And so when you look at that definition, he says, with my affliction. And then he says, now ye Philippians, verse 15, know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So we're going to see, this is found, you know, it's found in the book of Acts. So we're going to go look at this, Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at this incident to understand what Paul is calling communication, giving and receiving. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, verse 12. What is Paul, because we dealt with Corinthians on last week, we dealt with Philippians on last week, we dealt with Luke 6, 38, given it shall be given unto you. Preachers always associate this with money. Let's let the scripture tell us what the communication Paul is talking about, so that we'll understand, and walk in the truth, and through walking in the truth, we have the liberty to operate how we lead us to communicate. Okay? Now, Acts 16, we're going to start at verse 12. Acts 16, verse 12. Now, it says, what did we just leave? What book were we in? We were in Philippians 4. So we're in Philippians, so we have the connection here. It says, and from this, I don't want to read all of it for the sake of time. Verse 12. Read verse 1 through 11 if you want to understand what's all going on. But I want to start where Philippians 4 is being talked about. Okay? Now, verse 12 says, and from this to Philippi. So we know the Philippi is the Philippian church. That's how we know. And then he says, and from this to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia. Now, what did he say in Philippians chapter 4? He said in verse 15, now ye Philippians, Philippi, Acts chapter 16, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. So we're looking, we'll go back to Acts. Okay? We're chilling forward. Go back to Acts 16, verse 12. And from this to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony. So I want you to understand, even when you look at what they did when they came to the Americas and started colonizing the Indians and things like this, ain't nothing new under the sun. They were colonizing people within the nation and also certain regions as far as Gentiles were concerned. This colonization stuff didn't just begin with all this Columbus and all this stuff that you hear them talk about. They were doing it during this time frame. So this was a colony. And then it says, verse 12, and we were in that city abiding certain days. 13 says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayers were wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped Yah, heard us, whose heart Jehovah opened, and she attended unto the things which was spoken of Paul. And which verse 15, and when she was baptized, and her household, so her whole family was baptized, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to Jehovah, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained them. You see this? And she constrained them. So when you see him talking about this communication, that's what he's talking about. This communication where people that were saying, this is what I have, and this is what I can present in order to advance the gospel. So you're here in this region, here, come over here and say, we'll feed you, we'll do whatever we can. It wasn't that they were just taking this, giving Paul a bunch of money. It was a bunch of things that they were doing to communicate to meet Paul's needs. okay? And so we got to get off of this traditional man-made doctrine that every time you see a word give or a word receive, they got to attach a dollar bill to it. We got to say what this word was true, okay? And so as you see this woman, this is what Paul is referring to as he's talking about giving and receiving in Philippians. This is when Paul first started preaching, so to speak, the doctrine, the message to the church. This is when he first started developing these churches. This is the event here. And so when he's saying that in Philippians 4, he's talking about this event. He said, when I was in Macedonia, he said, you Philippians were the one who supported me when I was here. That's what he's saying. And he's showing how that there were times when he worked. And there are other things that we'll look at. You can see there's time when he worked, and then there was time when the Philippian church supported him. You see there was time when other churches supported him, but all of them was just helping one another and helping the church in Jerusalem, everybody. So in order to understand the giving and receiving, you just go all the way back to Acts chapter 2 and you see really what was going on. Wherever that need was, that's what people were doing to make sure that they were communicating to the church, wherever the church had need. Okay? And so we have to deal with it according to the truth. That ain't always money. Yes, it ain't. It's not always money. Okay? I know there are people who are multimillionaires, but they're sick somewhere else. Their affliction is somewhere else. Last thing they're concerned about is money, but they have a need somewhere else. We have to learn how to be in a position to communicate and meet a person's need, whatever that need may be, if we have the ability to communicate. There are some people who may just need you as a fellow laborer just to sit down and understand. They may not want you to figure it out. Just be there and understand. Just be there and help me with my need in one fashion or another. Just do what you can. That's why I have the old saying, I do what I can, and I don't worry about the rest. All I'm going to do is communicate to the best of my ability, and what I can't do, I'm not going to worry about. Because whenever the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to always be in position to communicate to the needs of the body. That is my primary mission, is to be a blessing to the body and to communicate with giving it and receiving any way that I have possible to make sure that the kingdom of Yah is advanced. All of us should be fellow laborers with that same mindset. That is the true church. That is the church of Acts. Okay. So as you continue to read on in these verses, I'm not going to deal with it all in detail, but there were some things that went on with Paul. Paul ended up receiving stripes, and I think he got put in prison. This is when he was put in prison. You look at verse 27. There were some things that was going on when he was in this region. And he ended up getting put in prison. Paul got put in prison a lot. That's the affliction. Because even when Paul was put in prison, the saints were always praying for him. They didn't go get him out of prison. But yet they communicated, they prayed. So we can't just limit it to the green. We have to understand that communication can have a lot of boundaries associated with it. This particular woman, she was like, look, you guys in this region, here, come stay with us. We're gonna give you a place to sleep and a place to eat and different things like that. Okay. And so that was vitally important for us to understand. Now, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll go back to Philippians 4 and then what's the time? We'll go back to Philippians 4 and then I want to go to 2 Thessalonians to point out what I had initially mentioned in reference to Paul working and then his need was also met. So we just saw in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is pointing out how he was communicating with. So we're going to look at verse 16 again. Then we're going to take a look at some things concerning the church of Thessalonica in Philippians 4, verse 16. Okay, so I start at verse 15, and then we'll move to verse 16. So verse 15 says, now in Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that's Acts 16, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Words is found in Thessalonians. We look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. Because he's talking about Thessalonians, so we want to look at this event. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to just look at verse 7 through 9. Again, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, leading up to verse 9 in your own time or the rest of the chapter. But I'm just showing you these events that are in the scriptures. Okay? Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul says this. He says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul says this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. We all there? We all on the same page? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He's going to tell you what disorderly is. Neither did we, well, when you look at that verse 1 through 5, he's dealing with certain things as far as disorderly, but you can also see some things in verse 7 through 9 concerning it too. He says, verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Okay, when you look at verse 8 now, he says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. The word naught, he says, without cause. You see Paul's mindset. Paul is saying, and I'm going to bring it up today. I didn't collect the tithe just so it could be there to put gas in my Rolls Royce. There was always a legitimate cause for the things that we asked for. Okay? Matter of fact, you take it all the way back to the Old Testament when they were gathering the resources for the temple. The priests and the elders, they start telling the people to stop giving because it was such a liberality that people were bringing in abundance that they told the people, this is enough. When is the last time you heard a preacher say, we got too much money, we're not taking up none this month? Because their mindset is just to take it up. It's not to put themselves in position to take it up for a cause. Their call is for selfish gain. I'm talking about kingdom call. And there comes a time when it's not necessary to do all these things that you see that's being done in the churches. That's why these preachers doing all this excessive stuff, because they are taking our resources without cause. There's no just call to do. Okay? And so Paul is saying here, he says in verse 8, he says, neither did he eat any man's bread for naught, without a call, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable. When you look at the word chargeable, let's deal with it. Verse 8, chargeable. That we may not be severe towards you, overcharged. How many churches are overcharged in the congregation nowadays? Paul said we were so adamant about making sure things were done right that we didn't take without a call, that when there was no call, we were willing to go and work to generate resources for our own selves. So that's what Paul is talking from this perspective now. And so he says, again, verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, colon. Not because we have not the power. Paul said, I know that we have, there are scriptures that reveal, it says, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth in the corn. In other words, Paul said in other passages, he said if the ox is treading out the corn, if he's working in the cornfield, the wheat field, he said, don't muffle his mouth. He should be able at least to reach down and eat some of the wheat that he's laboring in. So when Paul is saying that from that perspective, he's saying in verse 9, not because we have not the power. He said, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Follow from what perspective? Don't be taking something that's unnecessary. Wasn't that he was saying that it wasn't right at time, because you can look at other passages, and he's saying, y'all communicated to my necessity. Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Yehoshua Mashiach, because you communicated to my necessity when I had a just call and needed for support. He said, you did that. He said, but there was time when there was no need for that. He said, I went out and labored as to be an example to you all, with fellow laborers. He said, but not because I didn't have the power. Not because it wasn't a right, because I am just like the ox who treads in the corn. I'm laboring in the gospel. I should be supported by the gospel. That's what he says in other writings. But Paul balances that now to make it clear that this gospel is not put in place for some preacher to get rich from it. It is to meet the need of the entire body. We're all fellow laborers in the gospel. Okay. Now, verse 9, and I'm gonna get ready to close, I guess, for the sake of time. Verse 9 says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. When we teach this word in truth and follow the apostles' doctrine, last thing we'd be concerned about is the congregation following that doctrine. The reason why you got people nowadays who don't want to be a part of ministry, church, however you want to put it, is because they're tired of this foolishness. I'm tired of the foolishness. All these traditional things that men do to lead the people astray. All these traditional things that they pull out scriptures like what we just covered, and they blame, they say that those scriptures are put there, and this is what it means. And they have people deceived and operating in this foolishness, and at the same time they see their circumstances out the wild, folks just get discouraged and just quit coming to church. We just want to teach the truth. Okay? I'm finished. Anybody got any questions or comments at this point?
You good? Well, it was a word when a woman told in the comment there, the word behind, what does that mean?
We'll go back. That's Acts chapter 16.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 16, we start at verse 12. Probably around verse 17, I guess. Well, no, 16. We stopped at 16. 15. It's like me coming to you compelling.
Oh, okay.
We'll just deal with the word. We'll just look up the word. Constrain us. It means to entreat. It's kind of like the force contrary to. In other words, she was compelling them, come on, please come to my house. That kind of thing. Yeah.
She wouldn't let
them. Yeah.
They were like, nah, she wouldn't.
Right. She was like, and that's what Paul was talking about. So it was from that perspective. It wasn't, and that's why Paul approached it the way he did in Philippians 4. That's why when he would talk about these things, he said, not because I desire gifts. He said, but these are fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, because of how Yah was dealing with the hearts of the people, they were compelled to encourage Paul to benefit from what they were able to meet his needs on. That's how it should be. Should be some preachers sitting around, you know, trying to figure out how to trick people to give based upon how he quote the scripture for that particular week. That's foolish. We don't want to operate that way. All right? That's a good question. Okay. We all good? All right. Is that it? Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you again as you have given us another understanding of the scriptures. We just bless you for leading and guiding us in all truth. We consider it a great privilege, and we just want to make sure that we operate in the apostles' doctrine so that your kingdom may manifest in the earth through us. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.